screen and everywhere else, we still believe it. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord God, for your goodness, Lord. We bless you, Lord God, for your mercy, your kindness, Lord. We thank you, God, for the ministry of your word tonight. And God, we hold up our sword, the sword of the Spirit, Lord God, which is the word of God. We thank you tonight, Lord, that we stand on this word, God. We live by this word, Lord God, and we speak this word. We become exactly what we say, what you said we are, Lord God. So in your word tonight, we find life, we find shelter, we find strength, we find comfort. Lord, we find the answers to our lives, Lord God. We find the healing that we need. We find deliverance. God, whatever it is that we lack, we find it in your word. Because your word lacks nothing, Lord God. Your words are complete. Your word is already established in the heavens. And so tonight, Lord, we come into agreement and alignment with what your word has already said. God, we're not asking you to release something new, Lord God. We're asking you, Lord, to manifest what you've already said in our lives, Lord God. We're asking you to expose it to a greater level. And so tonight, Lord God, we just pray for every mind, every heart to come into, Lord, the frequency of heaven, Lord God, to be aligned, Lord, with the voice of you that speaks through me, Lord God. And Father, I pray right now, God, for anything, God, that might be going on in the way of the spirit, of the mind, of the body, Lord, that would try to even stop or subvert or prevent the word from going forth, Lord, I thank you tonight, God, that every heart is fertile soil, Lord God, that every heart right now is a heart, Lord God, that is ready to be sowed into, Lord, that the water can come so that there will be a great harvest now. And so, Father, I speak to those situations. I speak to, Lord, conditions. I speak, Lord God, to mindsets. I speak, Lord God, to everything, God, and causes to come into alignment with you now in Jesus' name. Lord, your word, Lord God, was sent to heal and deliver us from all destruction. So, God, your word is what we use, Lord God. Your word is our source. Your word is the final say concerning life, Lord God. So, Lord, we depend wholly and solely upon what you have already said and spoken, God. So tonight, speak again, Lord God, through these pages. Speak again, Lord God, through these words, Lord God, that we might find life, Lord God, that we might find health, that we might find strength in you. And, Lord, we bless you. We thank you. We honor you. And, Lord, we appreciate you. In your word, in Jesus' name, let everyone shout amen. Amen. All right, you may have your seats. Go with me to the book of Ruth, chapter 1. Ruth, chapter number 1. Hallelujah. Ruth, chapter number 1. Verse number 1. It says, now it came to pass in the days of the judges' rule, that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Verse number 3 says, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Go to verse number 5. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Verse 6, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had revisited his people in giving them bread. Skip with me to verse number 16. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, nor or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go, and whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Verse 18. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Go to chapter 2, verse number 1. And Naomi, chapter 2, verse 1, had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. Verse 3. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was too light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Say amen for the word. We kind of just scattered around on purpose just for a reason tonight to bring you a couple things that the Lord is saying real quickly here. And I just want to read a couple of words to you tonight. A couple of quotes here I want to share with you. We're going to go in. there's Mr. Herbert, he said this, his name is George Herbert. He said, watch this, don't wait. The time will never be just right. Start where you stand. Everyone, can you stand on your feet for a second? Just for a second. He said, don't wait. The time will never be just right. Start where you stand. And work with whatever tools you might have at your command. As you work, better tools are going to be fine as you keep going. You just stood, and God has said, I'm going to begin a new work in you, okay? George Whitefield said, press forward. Do not stop. Do not linger in your journey, but strive for the mark that is set before you. There was a place that God gave you to be before you were born. The reason why you're standing, because standing means I'm getting ready to make forward progress into a place that God called me to be in. How many of you are tired of living at the place you're in now? You know God has called you to greater. How many of you know that God has called you further? God has called you deeper. God has called you higher than where you are. And you might be in a good place right now, but you never get to a place where you get settled in God, because in God there's always more greater to come. In God there's further things to pursue. And so as you stand, you're moving forward. As you stand, you're moving ahead. As you stand, you see what God has for you. Amen? Amen. All right, give the Lord a praise offering. You can have your seats. All right, that was weak, but we'll keep going. Amen. I feel like I'm talking to successful people. I'm not talking to just anyone that's not about anything. Amen. I'm not talking to someone that doesn't want to go anywhere in life, someone that doesn't want to become nothing, someone that has just settled where they are. I don't know about you, but I'm not settled where I am. I know there's greater, okay? And I want to talk to people tonight that are aspiring to the God's greater realm, not just staying at certain levels of church, but that want to get to it. I'm glad she got it, amen? The Spirit of God is all over me tonight, and so some of you better grab a hold of her kind of faith, because it's her kind of faith that's going to move the hand of God, amen? Amen. Some of us have become so comfortable in our spirituality that God can't even use us anymore. Amen. I'm going to let her run. Amen. I might run with you while I'm preaching tonight, because your faith is stirring up the atmosphere to something new. Amen. How many of you are tired of being at that same place? You got to do something different. Amen. You want to be at another place, so we got to go to that another place, and we got to move. Hallelujah. Okay, and one of the key elements is God has really released a word of motivation in the house, that he has tried to motivate us to a greater level. How many are tired of being at that same place? I don't know about you. I've been at certain places too long. I've been around certain realms too long. You know what? It's time to go to something greater. And a key word in this season of motivation is called time. How many of you know what time is? Time is what we use to judge our days. It's how we measure days. It's how we measure our moments. It's how we measure periods. Time is used to govern our lives, right? So how many of you are on time for work today? Amen. You knew what time you had to be there. It governed your life, right? How many of you knew what time prayer started tonight? 6:30. It governed your life, right? And so time is our tool right now on this earth that we are given to use. And once time is finished, you're not getting it back. Let me say it again. Once your time is finished, you're not going to get time back. What you do with time now is going to decide your next phase in life. Okay, I'll keep going. Let me share this with you. The difference in you having and not having, the difference in you doing and not doing, is how you manage your time. How many want more? How many want to do more? You can do it based on how you manage your time. And so the Lord has been dealing with me and just motivating us to this end of 2017. And I'm trying to really follow Holy Spirit in doing this here. But the question to ask is, what's been stealing your time? Who's been stealing your time? Who's been illegally occupying your time? Who has stepped into your realm and caused you now to misuse time because they were standing in your way? Man, I'm finna preach something good tonight here. Time is a precious commodity that you can't afford to sit down on time. You can't afford to just treat time as though time is gonna just stop for you. Time is not stopping for no one. And I've learned here what I want to do in life, what I want to become in life. I've got to make sure I focus my time on that. And how you manage your time is gonna determine the outcome of your life. Amen? Question again, who's stealing your time? Who's coming in occupying your time? Who is actually illegally controlling your time? Hello, someone. Now, I want to share this word that God gave me tonight with you, because it's good here, because successful and motivated people know how to manage their time. I will not let people control my time. Successful, motivated people know how to manage their time. You don't let people come in and control your time limit. I've learned little things over life, and to the point of just simple meetings, I'm setting a time. I said this before. If I set a meeting at 7 and you show up at 7:15, the meeting's from 7 to 8, I'm not going to 8:15. The meeting started at 7. You're 15 minutes late. You're stealing my time if I go beyond and give you. You're not getting this tonight. Time is so important. That every moment you allow someone to illegally take what you're supposed to use to your destiny, that's further away you getting from what God wants you to be. Amen. Governing time is important. God set time in place, right? He said there were certain things that he did on the first day he didn't try to do on the second day. Say it with me, time is important. And so what I've come to realize is that we're in a season, we're in the time of no mores. No more wasting time. No more excuses why I'm not succeeding. No more second guessing myself. Can I do it? Is it for me? No more of this. Am I qualified? No more of this incomplete assignments. No more of these hesitations. No more of these unfruitful seasons. No more of these time wasters occupying my life. I'm in the time of no mores. I'm going to say it again. I'm living in a time of no mores. No more am I going to regret not having done so. I'm going to do what God has told me to do, right? Is that you? Is that me tonight? I'm not going to look back and say I'm not going to let waster of time come and occupy. No more am I going to be hesitant. No more are you going to be, you know, slack or lackadaisical. These are the seasons and times that God is saying no mores need to come in place. No more. Tell your neighbor, no more. Tell him again, no more. You might say, what am I talking about tonight? What does this got to do with Ruth tonight? I'm going to show you what it got to do with Ruth tonight. Because how many of you ever read the book of Ruth before? And it's something about the book of Ruth that it was actually written during the time of the judges. Right? In the time where, and this is important that you get this little moment of theology tonight. Judges were a time where there was no king. Where there was no king, there was really no real governing. In other words, people can do what they want, and because the king had the authority to stop whatever was done. In this case here, God raised up judges just to judge. And how many when you read the book of Judges, you found out that there were periods of good and there were periods of bad. Yeah. Amen. The king had the power to stop that, but there was no king in place. And so here is Ruth, a book that was written in the time of the judges here. And I like this here because Ruth, in the book of Judges, you got ups and you got downs, you got ins, you got outs, you got highs, you got lows. And I don't know about you, but I don't like to live on a roller coaster. I don't like to live off people's lives up and down, unstable, that instability. And so what God was showing me is, how do you really find motivation when your life is one day up, one day down? How do you get motivated when you're around people that love God one day and then they follow Baal the next day? How do you really get steadfast and motivated about really pursuing God's kingdom when now 40 years of peace have passed and now I'm with somebody else that don't honor God? And so Judges was that up and down period of time where, you know, God would come in and, you know, there would be times of peace and then there would be 40 years of peace and there would be another 40 years of chaos and people lived any kind of way they want. The Bible said that people did what was right in their own eyes. In their own eyes, what they thought to do, they did. And what they figured was right, they did right because there was no one saying that's wrong. Okay? And so here is now is a book of Ruth here. And say with me, Ruth. Is. A bright sunshine in a cloudy day. Say it again. Ruth is bright sunshine in a cloudy day. Now, here's what I want to share with you tonight is that in Ruth, I find like three motivators. Say it with me, three motivators. And what Ruth begins with, Ruth begins actually in the time of great famine and despair. And if you know anything about Ruth, what you're going to see is that in the first verse, as I look at it right now, it says, in those days, there was a famine in the land. Say it with me, famine. That means scarcity. That means that it was a time where there wasn't much to live off of, and people just kind of made it as they could. But there was an interesting note that I want to share with you tonight is that I believe that Ruth actually was strategically placed in the Bible to motivate us. Hello, someone. I believe that God caused this book to be birthed right in the Bible, right where it was. I know it comes after Judges, but it was during the time of Judges. And I believe that God wants to talk to someone tonight that might be in scarcity or famine and say, you know what? There is still life left in you if you motivate yourself. Oh, I'm okay. I'm you know, it. You can't just live life based on the way things are. Sometimes you got to say, come hell or how high water, I'm going to get through this thing. I don't care how bad it looks, I'm still going to shine. I don't care how much I've had to go through, how much torture has been. I don't care how much I've lost in the past. I got to find something. I've got to find someone. I've got to encourage myself, someone, something, some way, somehow, hell, whatever. I'm getting through this jam that I'm in tonight, and I'm going to make it to my promised land. Amen? That's called motivation. You're motivated not by what you see going wrong. You're motivated by what you see God is doing. And so I'm motivated by what I see God is doing, not so much as what is happening in the world, right? The more things that happen negatively tells me that the more God is getting ready to do positively. That's how I look at life. How do you look at life? And so Ruth begins, you know, in that time of famine. And I want to just go to the book of Ruth now, chapter 1, and I'm going to show you where I was talking about tonight. And I want you to just write this down, or if you can't, you know, you can listen to it, get the CD. But there are three motivators in everyone's life. Number one motivator is called life and its experiences. Number two is called people, other people, like divine connectors. Number three is called yourself. Your God created you. Everyone has that. Everyone. There are three motivators in everyone's life. Life and its experiences is number one. Number two, God, there are things called, people called divine connectors. And then there is the God created you. I'm not talking about the self created you, but the God created you. All right? And so in these motivators here, we're going to talk about these tonight just real briefly here. Just got a few moments that I'm going to share this with you here. But if you base just your life on how things are, guys, you're going to be frustrated, you're going to be discouraged, and you're going to be hopeless. Amen. Everyone needs a little motivation sometimes. Amen, we do. And so here's Ruth now, and these three motivators, as we look at chapter number 1, verse 1 through 3, look at this very carefully. It said, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man, notice how it starts off, don't even give his name, it's a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah. He went and sojourned, him and his family, to a country called Moab, right? Why did he go there? What was the reason? Life and experiences can motivate you to make a decision. I'm going to share this with you here. Imagine this here. Here's Bethlehem, Judah, right? You see that in the Bible, Bethlehem, Judah? Bethlehem means the house of bread. Yeah. Judah is praise. So now there's no bread, no praise. What do? There's a famine in the land. You're in the city of the house of bread. You're in Judah, which means praise. But you look around and there's no bread and there's nobody praising. How do you motivate yourself? How do you get motivated? How do you go on? Let me share something with you. In the first realm of motivation, life and its experiences, do you understand that it was the famine that motivated Elimelech? Sometimes your negative situations is enough to motivate you to do something. Come on, someone. Sometimes your hard times should be motivation. Let me just digress for a moment here. It was a wind and a great fish that motivated Jonah. He better get up and be a prophet. Come on, it was a hard situation, and I don't know about you, but there are some people that look at hard situations like, oh, I can't make it, but you need to tell your hard situation, thank you for the motivation. Thank you for the drive. That famine made me now go get a job. Who here is just going to lay around and die? No food, no help, no shelter, no car, no money, no nothing. What are you going to do? That should motivate you to get up and get a job. Elimelech was a good man. He got up and said, listen, we're not going to die. Let's go over to Moab. Why Moab? Moab was the arch enemy of Israel. Can you trust God that God is going to sustain you even in the hands of your enemy? Yeah, that's having faith and courage to be motivated. Sometimes your hard times will be the greatest motivator for you. How many ever hit rock bottom before? Anyway, raise your hand if you hit rock bottom. Answer me the question, are you still there? Because you were motivated by the rock bottom to get up. The rocks hurt. You got tired of walking on pebbles and rocks with your bare feet. And so you said, I got to do something so I can afford some shoes now. Your hard times motivate you. But I understand sometimes those hard times make you want to fold and you just kind of want to coast the way through. God, I know I'm going to get through somehow. I know I'm not going to make it. But somehow in your heart, you're motivated. You know what, God, this is going to pass. This season I'm in right now, I know it's hard. I might have to move. I might have to let go of some things. Anyone let go of some things before? Yeah, that's hard, but I was motivated. I'm going to get it back. Oh, man. And when you expose a thief, he's going to restore what? Seven times what was taken from you. And so you got to have that in your mind that although I might have to forsake some things, now I'm going to get it back. If you're motivated, even in your hard times, you can use your hard times for ammunition to move ahead. And I want to declare to you tonight that it was actually the famine that motivated Elimelech to take his family and to move into Moab and find food and find shelter and find a refuge just for a momentary period of time. I want to share this with you tonight to encourage someone. It's okay if you got to, you know, Paul, I was sharing this before how the word was really good a couple weeks ago. It's okay if sometimes you got to stay on manna, just don't go back to sin. Said it again. Don't try to move forward if you know you're not there yet. But the worst thing you can do is go back to Egypt. I'd rather stay in the wilderness than go back to Egypt. Come on, someone. Because Egypt don't love me. Egypt is not interested in my future. Egypt is not interested in anything but wearing me out. At least in the wilderness, God has promised to sustain me. Oh, yeah, I know this is good. And I get that motivation that sometimes we all want to get ahead, but until I get to that place, I'm okay with manna and quail. Because I'm not going back to Egypt with the millions and the fish and all that good stuff because that's going to cost me. God provided free. They're charging me hard labor. Come on, you got to get the point tonight. You motivate yourself. They're charging me. There are rigorous work. They're inflicting pain. They're trying to stop me from multiplying and growing. But the harder I worked, the more I grew. But on the other side in the wilderness, God was dropping manna every day upon them. God was providing that their shoes did not wear out. That's because God wasn't asking anything but obedience. So your hard times motivate me. Yeah, I know hard times. And I vowed I'm getting out of hard times. I visited there once. And I'm not going back. We don't get along. We don't have company. We don't have good company. We argue a lot. Now, hard times, our conversations aren't pleasant. I refuse to stay down. I refuse to stay broke. I refuse to stay sick. I refuse to stay hurt. I refuse to be disgruntled. I refuse to walk with a heart of unforgiveness. So me and hard times don't get along. I might be here for a moment, but I don't plan on staying too long. I promise you, hard times, I won't overstay my welcome. I promise you hard times that when the moment, the first opportunity God gives, when that door cracks, my foot is already in the door. Oh, yeah. As soon as I hear the key going in, I'm rushing to the door because I know that's my get out of jail free card. Yeah, hard times motivate you. But there's a reverse scenario here in hard times in Ruth. You can put it on the screen for me. Ruth chapter 1 and the other verses, verse 5 and 6. Just put it up there real quick here. There's a reverse. It was the famine that motivated Elimelech. Hard times. When was the last time your hard time motivated you? Maybe you're in a hard time right now. Let it motivate you. Right? How long you want to be in this hard time? How long you want to be in that position you're in now? I mean, you might be working a job now you don't like, but how long you want to work there? Yeah. Motivate yourself. Yeah. Educate yourself. Yeah. Focus yourself. Go in, do your job, and come out. Verse 5, and Mahlon and Chilion died. Also, both of them. Also meaning your husband died, now your two sons died. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. On the reverse side of this here, death motivated Naomi to move forward. Sometimes people die and people stop living. Oh, I'm talking tonight. It hurts. hurts when people leave, but I can't stop living just because they're gone. Death should motivate you to keep living until your time comes. Yeah. She could have stayed there and said, oh, woe is me. But no, I heard God done visited his people. I'm motivated to get out of this death scenario and get back to the land of my heritage. Come on, someone. Oh, man, I'm trying to be calm tonight, but it's kind of hard here. But what do you do when your brook is dried up? Come on, what do you do? Are you Elijah? Are you going to leave? Because see, what I found out is, and an author wrote this once, he said that there a place was created before people were. You hear what I said? Your place was created before you were. Eden was there before Adam was created. The land of promise was there before Abraham was called forth to leave his kindred and go. Place is always there before you are even summoned to go. Before you get to Zarephath, I've already commanded a widow to sustain you there. Before you get to Brook, there are ravens that are already on guard, ready to go to the king's table and bring you food every day so you don't have to eat McDonald's. You can eat Texas Day Brazil every day. Let me put it in layman's terms. Elijah didn't eat Burger King and McDonald's. He ate from the king's table. It wasn't drive-through. It was cooked food came from the king's table. And so there are times when you got to encourage yourself, even through the hard time, that death was a motivator for Naomi to get up with her daughters-in-law and say, look, we got to get back because we've heard that God has dealt with his people. And many times you got to motivate yourself to get up and get ahead in life. Even when hard situations happen, but I want to share something with you about even when your brook dry, God tells you to get up and he tells you to go. You got to go. You know why? Because God said your next assignment is waiting for you. I've created a place. What did Jesus say? I go to prepare a place for you. The place was created before you were born. That where I am, there may ye be also. So God is saying wherever I call you to, it's waiting for you to stand up and get there and arrive. Yeah, I said what God promised you is waiting for you to arrive. Let me come on this side. What God has for you is already packaged and waiting for you to arise and come get it. Even if you have to experience times of death and times of famine, it's still there. God is saying, will you arise now? I know you've been through some hard times, Naomi, but I visited my people, and she heard in Moab that God visited them in that land, and she said, you know what? Let's go. Well, no, I don't want to go. I ain't got nothing left. That's more reason to get up and go. What do you got to lose if you have nothing anyway? I mean, my goodness, if it's offering time and all you got is a dollar to your name, give it. What do you got to lose? You can't buy nothing with a dollar anyway. You can't even get a drop of gas in your tank with a dollar. You're going to spill more on the ground when you take it off the nozzle. Yeah, I know it's true. And so what do you got to lose? Like the lepers, are we going to sit here and die? We're going to die if we sit, but we might die if we go. But how many know they didn't die? You might discover something new if you get up and go, even if you don't feel like going. Yeah, I'm preaching to someone tonight. You might discover that your answer is in you defeating death that's been all around you. Your answer is in you rising up and defeating the famine that you lived through all of your life. And now you say, it's my time now to shine. Amen, someone. Okay, say, God, give me more right now. And so the first motivator is your experience, your life. How many have had difficult lives? Don't look at it as a hardship. Look at it as a motivator. I'm going to say it again. Don't look at your life as a hardship. Look at it as a motivator. It's motivating you to finish your education. It's motivating you to get that job. It's motivating you to get the skills. It's motivating you to go after what God promised you. You know, even if you've had to press through and lose some things in life, I'd rather lose and then gain than not having lost nothing and get nothing. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Number two. Say number two. Divine connectors. Go to verse 16. Ruth chapter 1, verse 16. Tell your neighbor your next assignment is waiting for you to get up. Motivate yourself. Verse 16, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I'm going. Stay here. No, I got nothing for you. So, you going to wait for another son? I'm going. I had a brother once. I do got a brother still, but I had a brother when I was younger. Wherever he went, I went. He's a lot older than me. So I'm 21 still, so he got to be up in age. But growing up, it was my older brother. Wherever he went, I went. He walked down the alley to get on the L to go on his car. I'm walking right down the alley behind him. He said, you better go home. Dad gonna get you. I don't care. I'm going where you go because I want what you got. I like how you live your life. I admire what you do. I'm going after who you are. He was the gifted one. He's the anointed one. He was the one everyone said was going to be the preacher. He was the one everyone said is going to succeed greater than anyone else. But I followed him. Whatever you let down, I picked up. Whatever you did, I tried to do it too. You speak Spanish, I'm going to speak Spanish too. Because that's how he communicated to me. He spoke Spanish fluently. God just gave him the gift. He woke up and he just started speaking Spanish. And so he would always speak Spanish. Okay, oh, you speak it. I'm going to speak it too. Where you go, I'm going to go. One day I followed him, and I'm just digressing for a few minutes. I got about 20 more minutes here. And one day I jumped on the bike on the front handlebars of his. And we riding through, going through, and my foot got caught in the spokes. Bam, I hit the ground, and I was unconscious. I don't know how long. And I woke up, and he was crying. Oh, mama's going to kill me. Dad's going to kill me. I said, where are we going? You know why? Because I wanted it that bad. He motivated me. Let me continue to read here. I'm going somewhere with this. For whether thou goest, I'll go. Where thou lodgest, I'll lodge. Thy people shall be my people. Thy God, my God. Verse 17, where thou diest, I'll die. Where thou be buried, I'm buried. Look at what he's saying. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part me and thee. Go verse 18. And it says, when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Divine connectors. Say with me, divine connectors. Divine connectors. Those are ordained people that come into your life. And there's something about a divine connector is they're not always your friend or your family. Amen. They're not always the person that you knew from around the hood, the person that you work with or the person you have a relationship with or an acquaintance. It could just be a God-ordained person that says, hey, it's you, Ananias, that I want you now to raise up because there's a man called Saul of Tarsus. You're going to lay hands on him. He's going to receive his sight. That's a divine connector. In other words, we've heard about this Saul guy and how he's persecuting the church, and we're an enemy of Saul, but no. I'm using you as a connector to his future. You follow what I'm saying tonight? And so here we look at Ruth and we look at Naomi here, and Ruth met Naomi through her son, Mahlon. Come on, someone shout divine connector. Divine connector. There was something about Naomi's life that motivated Ruth to the point where she left her heritage just to be with Naomi. When was the last person that you were willing to leave everything that you are just to follow behind that one person? I don't know what Naomi said or how she lived or what she displayed in front of Ruth, but when it came time for Naomi to go back to her hometown, Naomi or Ruth was willing to leave everything behind. Mother, father, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, whatever it is, just to follow Naomi. Look at what the scripture said. Just back up to verse 16 again for me, if you don't mind. It says in verse 16, entreat me not. Don't tell me I can't go with you. You motivated me. Yes, my husband died, but I watched how you handled it. Oh, man, help me someone. I watched how your sons died, but I watched how you handled it. There's something about you and your God that I want. There's something about the anointing on your life that I want to follow. There's something about the grace that God has given you that I cannot be without. There's something about you just speaking truth and you just opening up your mouth that wants me to be right there so that no word drops to the ground. And so he said, don't tell me to leave from you. I can't leave from you. I'm soul tied to you. Your words have connected me to you. We are bonded together in love, and there's nothing that could part us but death. Man, I'm like Paul. Man, I am sold out. Neither life nor death, neither principality, no things present, no things to come. Nothing is going to separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Ruth had a tenacity because Naomi motivated her to the point where she said, the only thing that's going to get me away from you is if you or me die. I don't believe Naomi was practicing witchcraft over her. I don't believe Naomi was trying to control her, like some church folks say. I believe it was the anointing that she was after, the grace upon her life that she was after. See, if you're going to follow me for the grace and the anointing. I'm going too. But you weren't invited. So what? Anyone ever showed up uninvited? And you found out you were supposed to be there. You were the one they were waiting for. I'm talking prophetically now. Nothing was going to happen until you got to where you needed to be. I'll lodge where you lodge. I'm willing to take your people as my people now. I'm willing to deny my heritage and take upon your heritage. Naomi was a motivator, but she didn't look like it. You are motivating someone's life even in your hard times. Well, I can't motivate no one. I got no one. It doesn't matter about what you got naturally. It's what's in you that's motivating someone to want to follow you. You know what you do with people that motivate you? You invest in them. You draw from your motivator. I've got motivators in my life and I draw from them. They've given me permission to draw as much as I want. And I would be a fool if I didn't go in and get everything that I needed. And they gave me an open comp, like, go in and get what you want. Do you understand that they were sent by God for you? Can you imagine that? Could it be that Naomi was sent by God to raise up a Gentile that would sit in the lineage of Jesus? He didn't want to use someone directly in the line with him. God wanted to bypass protocol and mess everybody up and say it's going to be a Moabite. Study the Moabites. Study ancestral. Study Lot. Study wars and hatred. Study the biggest enemy of Israel. And God said, I'm going to use them. Could it be that God was making a point right then and there and saying, listen, I know what it's supposed to be according to what you think, but it is what I say it is today. And only one I could use to cause this to happen is Naomi. That's why I said Ruth is one of the most strategically placed books of the Bible in the right place. Because in the middle of chaos, in the middle of false worship and false peace and this and that, here is this lady named Ruth who comes in who just literally means nothing until she does something. Can I go on? Thank you. Last thing. Chapter 2, verse 1. Oh, man. And Naomi had a kinsman after her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech. And his name was Boaz. I got a word for you in this, man. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay. And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me go to the field. When's the last time you asked to go work? Look at you grown-ups right now. Well, if I don't have to work, I sure wouldn't go. Well, let me tell you something right now. If you had nothing and could do nothing, that should motivate you to want to go work. and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find. Oh, God, I just can't. I keep shaking my head every time I read this here because Ruth is talking and she said, listen, let me go to the field. Underline that. And we'll come back to that, okay? Verse number 2. And Ruth and Moab said, Naomi, let me go to the field. Go to verse 3. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And the hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And I believe that self-motivation, this is the third one right here, is where you motivate yourself. That God created you. You become your own motivator. Right? It's fine when life and experiences motivate you. It's good when people can motivate you. But I believe the best motivation you could ever get is yourself. Who's with you more than you? Who knows you outside of God better than you? So I believe the best motivator is you because you know you. You could try to lie to you, but you is going to say that's not true. Your heart is going to convince. You might even live a lie. But the real you is saying, you know it's a lie. You know that's not really you. I'm telling you, you put up with a lot of stuff with yourself. But I believe that self-motivation comes through a strong personal desire. Can I talk about that for a minute? I believe that self-motivated people have a strong desire in themselves to do or to become something. If you don't have a desire, what's your motivation then? How big is your desire tonight? How big is your desire? Enlarge your desire. I want to stretch you tonight. Create a greater appetite. And whatever you see, make yourself get hungry to go after that greatness. What makes an athlete risk concussion after concussion? Broken bones after broken bones. Numbness after numbness. Sprain after sprain. They're going after a crown. But they're going after a crown that's going to perish one day. They create an appetite for it. They create a hunger for it. If you see yourself in a position doing something, then you need to starve yourself and then go feed it. Anyone ever gotten hungry before? And you said, I'll eat anything. The first thing I get my hands on, I just need something. It's because you were that hungry enough. You know what? I can't wait for dinner. I've got to eat because I'm hungry. That's your dream you're eating now. Go after and say, you know, I'm hungry enough to go after this thing, and I'm going to go wholeheartedly after. And so my desire is to experience a greater move of God every day. And so I'm hungry every morning. God, I want more of you. What's your dream? What's your motivation? What's your desire within that? Is your desire stronger than what you can see right now? Well, let me give you a couple of points here that I want to encourage you with here. How do I do that? How do I build my desire for more? I know you asked me that. I want to motivate myself, but how do I build my desire? Well, let me share with you some things that I do that we do personally to help motivate us and create a desire. There's one thing I do. I'm really, really anal about atmospheres. Dull atmospheres. Dull colors. Atmospheres that have no life. I can't be around. Every now and then, I've got to change my furniture. Every now and then, I got to shift and move things around and create a different atmosphere. Because currently, where I was receiving from, that atmosphere is not no longer feeding my desire. And so now I begin to just shift one couch or one chair, and now a boatload of revelation comes. I created a desire. I just did something naturally that made me feel even greater. Come on, someone. You know what else happens? Go and just paint a room. Change the color to something you desire. It creates a different atmosphere. All of a sudden, you feel motivated now to decorate and to do things more. Why? It's because you changed the atmosphere. You got to learn that. Maybe the reason why you this simple place you're in because your atmosphere is the same for the last 20 years. Even the last 5 years. Even the last year, what have you shifted or changed in your life? There are other motivators in life. When I wash my car, I get motivated. I feel like I got to dress different and cleaner in a clean car. Come on, someone. Oh, man. But then there's another motivator for me, music. I dial in the Holy Spirit, and there are certain songs at certain seasons that God releases. And I search for the song. I don't even know what it is. But my spirit man comes into agreement with the sound. Oh, yeah. You got to get this tonight. I'm trying to teach you how to motivate, how to get that desire. You got to sometimes wait on it. You got to listen through maybe 1,000 other songs to get to that one that's going to minister to you the right way. And after I've listened to 1,000 songs, it was worth it. It was worth every other song that it was okay, but it didn't do it. But it made me get to that 1,000th song that was exactly what God wanted me to have. How much were you willing to go through to get to that place? Motivators. Desire. I feed that desire. And I learned that once the song has done its course, no more. Got to reach for the next one. Oh, I'm talking to someone tonight. Some people are playing the same song and you're getting the same results. It's time now to shift and search for the new song. It's time now to just hit play and let it play. I can play and I can go on overnight in the wee hours in the morning. It's something about the anointing of God that when the right song hits, I can be sleeping, I wake up, and that's it. That's the song. I don't know who wrote it, but I'm telling you right now, I will hum it. This is my own personal thing here. The way that I get the song is I remember the beat, and I'll get some sticks, and I'll just play. And it'll come. That's what it is right there. That was the song. And so what happens is that whenever I'm on the crutch, whenever I'm, okay, God, what are you saying? Here's that song. The song was resurrected for the now. But once now is finished, you got to move on to the next. I got to play a song for you at the end. I'm going to let you into my world for a few moments here because I am out of time. How can I wrap this up here? How many want to increase your desire? Because when your desire increases, your motivation is going to follow. Man, I'm motivated to finish 2017 strong. Somehow, I just keep believing, man, that I'm going to get some keys to a big old place. It's going to walk up and we're going to be rejoicing in an edifice that you're going to say, look at what God has done. And I keep seeing myself handing people keys to a new home, to a new car. I keep seeing myself, listen, you're hired tomorrow. I just keep seeing myself walking through and my shadow. I pray that. God, I want my shadow to be like Peter's shadow now. Yeah. I asked him for it. Yes. I did. I don't want no money for it. I'll mail you a piece of my handkerchief. You ain't got to send me a dollar. Because I just feel like, God, this is what I desire. I want your name to be glorified in a greater measure. And so I'm feeding that. I'm motivating myself, that desire. I've got music on that taps into the realms of heaven, that reaches into the place where it identifies God as who he is, Yahweh. Okay, let me finish here. So in conclusion, I don't know how to end this thing. Let me go to the scriptures. Go back to verse number 2, please, if you don't mind. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. Okay, watch this here, and I'm going to try to close this down. Ruth had an inner desire to succeed, guys. I'm going to give you a word here real quick here, and I don't want you to miss this. She asked to go glean. First of all, she asked, she said, let me go to the field. In other words, let me work. Let me work. Let me work. Let me do this here. And then she said, let me go into the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. Okay, and I want to ask you a question tonight. Now, where was Ruth from? So she was a Moabitess, right? She was not of the house of Israel, was she? Okay, how did she know about gleaning? That was something God commanded of the Jews. That when you glean, I want to make sure that those that don't have can have a part of. How do you know about gleaning, Ruth? Her motivator, Naomi, had to be talking about something. Listen, we can at least get something in the gleaning. And so she says, listen, watch this. Don't miss this here. How does she understand and know about gleaning? Desire. Motivation to go after something you don't know. Educating yourself in the field that God called you to so that you get everything you need so that you know what belongs to you. You don't have to starve in this world. There are people that are designed to help you. There are organizations that will give. But you don't know if you don't research it. Oh, yeah. I believe that she inquired of Naomi, of her heritage. What made her say, your people are my people. Where you go, I'm going. She had to know something about Naomi's people that said, let me go glean. Because I heard at least we can get something to eat. Here's the good part. She said, and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. She didn't say that I might find grace. She went with a desire that she was going to come away with some food to eat for her and Naomi. I am going to find grace in somebody's field today, so we are going to live and not die. That's called self-motivation. That's called an inner personal desire that I'm not going to just lay here and die. I left everything to follow you, Naomi, and I got a desire to succeed. Now, do you think that you can dream bigger than God? Do you think that your desire can be bigger than God's desire for your life? I believe God said, well, I'm going to match you, and I'm going to go one higher. Come on, someone. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. I will match you, but I'm actually going to go higher. I'm going to line you up with a wealthy man's field called Boaz. You're just looking for grace from somebody, but your somebody is named Boaz, who actually is related and who's going to become your husband. So I don't know if you know all this beforehand, but what you're doing is your desires create an opportunity for your wealth. Yeah, I'm glad three people are excited. So, but I know here that my desire now is eventually going to bring me to a place where it's going to meet the right person because I motivated myself not to die. I'm reading the scripture here. She said, after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And notice what Naomi said. Go ahead. Because you motivated. You got a desire to succeed. I don't know what I did to deserve a daughter-in-law like you. But Ruth could turn around and say, no, Naomi, you actually motivated me. That I am who I am because of what you did for me. And so now in return, I am self-motivated to take care of you and me. Oh, out of God, help me tonight. And she said unto her, go, because you said you're going to find grace. You're not going to come back empty-handed tonight. You coming back. And how many of you know the end of that story? She not only gleaned and found corn. I'm going to say it like this. Easy. She found Jesus. She found Jesus. She got hooked up. I'm not talking about with the Kardashians. I'm not talking about being like the Joneses. She got hooked up with Jesus. Come on, she goes down forever as an anointed woman of God in the lineage of Jesus. Why? Because her desire was greater than her conflicts. Her desire was greater than her mishaps, her misfortunes. Her desire was greater than what life had dealt her. Her desire was greater than everything she lost. Her desire, she became self-motivated, just like David in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse number 6. He inquired of the Lord, and the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. When everyone else was against him and wanted to stone him, he said, I only got me that's left, so if me don't get up, me gonna die. If me don't do anything, then me is not going to exist tomorrow. Come on, someone. Not everyone's going to help you in this world. Sometimes you got to get up and help yourself. You know the Bible says the violent take it by force. They're not going to just give it to you all the time. Sometimes you got to get up and take it for yourself. Sometimes you got to go in a field and you got to roll your sleeves up. You got to work. Well, you know, I wouldn't. My gift is not that. Well, sometimes you got to work in something that's totally opposite of your gift so that your boys could find you doing something different. Because I believe this here, and I know God, and you know God, that God already knew that Ruth was going to be who she was. Even if you got to glean for a while. Come on, even if you got to work the corners of a field for a while. But how many know that even when she worked the corner of the fields, she was still protected and guarded? And Boaz made sure that she had the best, that she was able to sit with the other ladies, that the men would not touch her and look upon her as to lust after her and take advantage of her. Why? Because she had a destiny, and her destiny came from a desire. I'm not going to fail. I'm going to do this thing because I have a desire to succeed now. My desire is greater. Man, I'm telling you right now, what you've been through, nothing but just cultivate the desire that's in you right now. Your desire is to succeed, so may your Boaz find you now doing something. I got in. But I do believe that tonight, that there are times where you got to motivate yourself. And how do you motivate yourself? You create a desire inside yourself. How do I create desires inside myself? Look at the atmospheres you're around. Listen to the music you're listening to. Look at the people you're around. Sometimes you got to separate yourself from atmospheres and people. Sometimes, I'm telling you right now, when people are trying to get there are some people that are called tag-alongs. Oh, I'm just speaking now. There are tag-alongs. Tag-alongs only want to go along but never do what it takes to get there. Tagalongs want to get involved in everything but never commit to nothing. Tagalongs want to be known as the one that was at the party, but I want to be known as the one that was a part of the party. Come on, someone. I don't want to be just at church. I want to be the church. I want to be the one that's doing the work, not the one that's saying, we did this. No, no, we are in it. That's what self-motivation does. And when your desire comes up, your taste for nonsense decreases. Yes, yes, yes. When your desire rises up, your taste for nonsense decreases. Your taste for people that aren't going the same way. I love you, but I can't get with you. You only with me for what you want, but I'm in it for what God wants out of me. So my desire now is drawing me to a place where I got to separate from things that kept me away from where God wanted me to be. That's what happens when you motivate yourself. You find out that everyone around you, they weren't always motivating you. Some of them were just draining you. Some of them were just working you. Some of them were wearing you out. Do you know that's demonic? That Satan is designed to try to wear the saints out, the Bible says. And when people try to wear you out, they're demonically influenced. And they don't even realize they're walking under demonic influence by trying to wear you out. When you start to do something with your life, and this is my final word, you identify the people that are not supposed to be in your life. When life now starts to mean something and you're putting things together and God is showing you things, he's also going to show you the ones that aren't able to go alongside of where God is taking you. This is why Ruth had to separate. She realized that the Moabites, they're not going to be a part of adding to the kingdom of God. But Naomi, your God, your people are going to cause me to get better in life. Yeah, I got this thing in you tonight. If I follow you, I'm going to get better. If I stay where I am, I'm going to be worse. Come on, someone. If I follow you, then at least I've got a God of, oh, man. I've got a God of Abraham, provision. I got a God of Isaac, increase. I got a God of Jacob, covenant. Come on, someone. I've got a God that's going to provide for me. I got a God that's going to increase me. And I got a God that's going to multiply me and cause us to have dominion. So am I going to stay with nothing or am I going to go with the potential to get everything? Do you get what I'm saying tonight? Because when she found Boaz, she connected to Jesus and Jesus became everything. Stand up with me tonight. I got to quit. I'm not finished, but I got to stop. I can't. Unfortunately, it's hard to pick up. But I think if you didn't get it, it's okay. Because I've learned I got to drop it right now And you are motivated to succeed now. Everything in me is trying to tell this church, you are motivated to succeed now, but it's up to you to create your own greater desire. I can say motivating words. I can give you scriptures to confirm it, but it's up to you now to create a deeper desire. What are you going to do after this word to enhance your desire? What are you going to do after this word that's going to enhance the atmosphere that you live in, that you work in? Even when I worked a job, I was concerned about my atmosphere. You can't do everybody's head because they'll mess up your atmosphere. Yes. By touching them, you can be attracted to something that you don't need. People can usurp things from you even by contact. And I've learned that. Oh, I'm feeling good tonight. How about you tonight? See, there are certain things you just cannot be around. Let me share something else with you. There are certain things that your eyes cannot see. Because your eyes would develop now a thirst after something that you didn't normally want. But because your eyes saw it, now your body wants it. Motivators. You got to learn to create desires. And when those desires now become greater in your life, you're going to see yourself doing what God said you could do. There's something about right now, Faith Walk, that all I'm asking you to do is create a greater desire. Because I'm motivated to finish strong. But I need you to increase your desire. Atmospheres, music, people, everything is important to where we're going. I said we. And where did my scripture go up there? Second chapter, second verse. You thought I was finished, didn't you? You finally believed me and I proved you wrong. I need someone to tell me, let me go into the field. Let me give you a prophetic word tonight from your apostle. Find something that needs help and do it. Find something that's lacking and do it. This is what she said. We're lacking food. Let me go to the field. Naomi was content on just being Mara. But Ruth said, no, you can't be Mara. You my Naomi. Let me go. Someone asked me, let me go. Because I've got favor that's waiting on me. I've got grace waiting on me. Remember I told you that God establishes the place before he sends the person? Your gift is waiting on you. Would you pray with me tonight? Father, I thank you that your word is established and your word is done. Lord, I've given them, as Jesus said, what you've given me to give. I gave it to you with the excitement, with the passion, with the motivation. Now, God, you're saying, ask them to enhance their own desire for it. So, God, tonight, I pray that the desire of each one under the sound of my voice would increase, increase, increase in Jesus' name. Now, I want to play a song for you while you get your...